With the first pick in the 2003 NBA draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA draft,
with the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the 1998 NBA draft,
with the first pick in the Orlando Magic,
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
Welcome to the Nothing But Net channel on Dash Radio. This is Robin Hoop, an NBA Draft show. I'm your host, Rob Hess, and we'll bring coverage of the draft and high school and college prospects to you every single week here on Dash Radio. We're going to be broadcasting every week on Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So depending on the time zone that you are in, we will definitely be able to get you with some good draft coverage. Make sure that you download the Dash Radio app or listen on DashRadio.com. Both are free. This is the Robin Hoop NBA Draft Show. We want to start it off. This is going to be a very big show this week. Lots to touch on here in our first show. I'm going to start off a little bit looking at a cursory big board and taking a look at some of my personal player rankings, and then we'll dive into some specifics. And we are lucky enough on this week's edition to be joined from Israel by the sports rabbi. He's going to talk to us about one of my favorite prospects, Denny Avdia, and then take a look a little bit at Maccabi Tel Aviv and the Israeli League. Like we talked about, we're going to start with my personal big board. This is not final by any stretch of the imagination. I still have lots more to dive into, lots of film to watch, but this is definitely a first look at some of my player rankings. So we're going to start off with, I actually kind of have it set up as a basically two-way tie between two players. I have been a huge fan of LaMelo Ball for years, been watching him since his high school days. Very, very talented player, and I have him going number one overall, but tied with him is the guy we just talked about, and that is, of course, Denny Avdia, one of my favorite players in the draft. My other show that I do host is The Howl, which is a Timberwolves-based radio show. And let me add, I think Denny Avdia would fit perfectly with what the Timberwolves are looking to build. Next in this first tier, I have Anthony Edwards, who is in a close second or third, depending on how you want to look at it. And then Killian Hayes rounds off what I would consider kind of a first tier look at my big board. The next guy on the list, I sort of have on a tier of his own. It's early on, and there's lots of chances to maybe move him down, move him up. I guess we'll see what happens long term. But I do really like the man, Isaac Okoro, one of my favorite prospects in this draft. What I love about him is he is an absolutely phenomenal defender, and he's going to be very, very good at the next level. One of the big question marks for him is his shooting. That's no joke. A lot of people have that question mark. They say, is he going to be able to increase and become a more efficient shooter at the next level? There's definitely question marks there, and if it weren't for that, I do think that he would have had a shot and still does have a shot at being that number one overall pick. But with those shot question marks, I definitely think he drops a little bit. And I have seen other people's big boards, and he's really started to fall. And those question marks that they have on offense are valid, and that's one thing to watch for. Now, the next listing of players, not really going to go too in-depth, just going to kind of basically count them out as the rankings go on. So the next one on the list, and not really any more tiers at this stage, but we'll just go through the list. Onyeka Okongwu, Tyrese Maxey, Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, Cole Anthony. I then have Patrick Williams, Obi Toppin. I will say quickly on Obi Toppin, lots of differing opinions on him. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just not that high on him for many reasons, one of which I don't particularly think he's going to be very good at defense. Physically, there are true limitations with Obi Toppin's game, whether it's his hips, there's obviously some issues there. I don't see him being able to move laterally very well. Of course, he's a good athlete, but on the defensive end, I think he's going to continuously struggle, and I really don't see an ending there. Maybe someone else can convince me, but as of right now, I just don't see any way that Obi Toppin is going to be able to compete on the defensive end. And on top of that, I don't think he's going to be good enough offensively that he's going to be able to make up for the deficiencies he has on defense. So we'll see what happens there. Next, I have James Wiseman. You know, another player that I would say is very polarizing because you have so many people that are all in on James Wiseman. And I'll tell you right now, for anyone that's played NBA 2K over the years, he's been in a number of draft classes that users have made. And I think for anyone that goes into things like My League and looking at draft classes, that's one area where I do think that you can probably have your opinion swayed a little bit just because they've made him way, way too good in some of those draft classes. And I think some people are skewed that way. But also, you run into the fact that a lot of the big name draft shows that have been out there, you know, over the years are really high on Wiseman. And you start to hear that teams are high on him as well. You know, for a while, we started hearing that Wiseman was linked to the Warriors as a potential fit because that's a team that, you know, probably could use a true center at times. But there's real question marks with James Wiseman, just like there are with Obi Toppin. Whether it's his basketball IQ, I just think he makes some bad decisions. I've heard other draft experts talk about how they think he's just automatically going to be able to shoot three-point shots and hit them at a good rate. I don't know what they're basing that off of, because if you watch him, I do have question marks about his shot. Lots of things that drop him on my board. Do I think he actually is going to end up being in the late lottery? No, I think someone's probably going to take him earlier than they should. Every year, we talk about who's the team that's going to go too early on a name. And in some cases, just because it's a big name. I don't know what that team or who that team is going to be, but it would not shock me if James Wiseman goes at a minimum in the top 10. And I think someone's going to regret that. The center position, very similar to football in the NFL, like the running back position, it's just not as important as it once was, especially when you talk about true centers. You know, there's obviously the modern center, players like Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Karl Towns, that are able to do things. And, you know, you look at a guy like James Wiseman, and he just, at least for my money right now, doesn't fit that bill. But even so, unless you are an absolute game changer, and we're talking about guys that, as a big man, come into the draft, and you're saying to yourselves, this guy is a surefire talent. If it's not for that, centers are a dime a dozen at this point, and I don't see a reason why anybody should want to go all in on a player like that. Although I will add, I do have in my top five currently Onyeka Okongwu. I have heard a number of people that think he would be a really perfect fit next to Karl Towns, for example. That's one team that I have definitely heard people link him to. But here's the problem. If you talk about the Timberwolves specifically, Onyeka Okongwu doesn't fit the build of the player they're actually looking for. And so I don't think that's very realistic. There are some teams, though, I think that would look to grab a center. And for my money, I'm going to grab Onyeka Okongwu before I would grab James Wiseman. At 13, we then have R.J. Hampton. 14, Kyra Lewis Jr. 15, we have the great shooting Aaron Naismith. Of course, there are some concerns there, given that he was injured. Not a huge sample size there, but I do think at the next level, he could be a very solid player. At 16, I have Sadiq Bey. At 17, Theo Maledon. 18, Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith's a player that I think eventually I'm going to be moving up my board. I like a lot of the skills that he brings to the table, and we'll do more in-depth looks at some of these later players down the road in future episodes. At 19, I have Tyler Bay. At 20, Paul Reed. 21, Tyrell Terry. I really like Tyrell Terry. Another name that I think is probably going to end up moving up my list. And then I do just round it out with 22. I'm not going to go any further than that on this week's edition. I have Leandro Bomaro. He's going to be my number 22. Now, We're going to start off going into the in-depth players, and we're going to start off with the four guys at the top of my board: LaMelo Ball, Denny Avdija, Anthony Edwards, and Killian Hayes. Maybe a little bit into Isaac Okoro, but I think we'll probably save that for a future episode. Now, we're going to start off with Denny Avdija. And when you're thinking about Denny Avdija, one thing to keep in mind is that he has not necessarily continuously throughout this season gotten the same amount of minutes. So that's one thing to keep in mind as we kind of go through some of his statistics and take a look at some of his numbers. You want to keep in mind that he has not, you know, played a major role at every single step of the way, I guess you could say, in his season with the Israeli team. So some of these numbers are a little bit skewed. If we take a look at his most recent numbers, specifically when Maccabi Tel Aviv came back, they've played three games so far since the restart of the Israeli League. And as we take a look here at some of his numbers, a lot of things stand out. So looking at game number one, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He had a very good 7 of 8 from the free throw line, which is good to see. And then you jump ahead to game number two, 18 points, 5 rebounds, just a single assist and a single steal. That does not tell the whole story as far as assists are concerned. He definitely is a very, very good passer, very solid ball handler, especially when you consider the fact that he is 6'9". You definitely don't see that every day, and that's a huge part of what draws me into him as a prospect. Now, in that game, he was 2 of 2 from the free throw line. So at that point, you're thinking, all right, the restart comes. We saw in the offseason, in the break, the kind of work he put into his shot. And you're looking at those numbers and you're saying, all right, 9 of 10, 90% in those first two games. That's fantastic. Then you jump ahead to that third game, though, that just happened. 2 of 6 from the free throw line, 33%. And now you start to see why there are question marks with him at the free throw line and shooting in general. I, for one, though, fully believe that he's going to be able to continue the success from the three-point line. So I think the free throw line is going to be coming up next. I'm not that worried long term. I mean, think about this. He's a young kid, and he's got lots of time to grow into some of his skills. And looking at how about three-point shooting, 2 of 3 in that first game, 2 of 5 in the second, 3 of 7 in the third. If he goes to the NBA, and if Denny can consistently hit three-point shots, definitely get that free throw number up to, at a minimum, I would say 75 to 80%. You add that to the fact that he's a very solid defender who continues to grow, I would say, on that end of the floor. And you're talking about a solid ball handler and a very good passer, especially for his size. I'm telling you, this is a guy that I think every team that has a need for what he brings should be considering him at pick number one. And it's with that in mind, we jump to our interview now with the sports rabbi. He joined us just after the last Maccabi Tel Aviv game, and he is here to discuss Denny Avdija. All right, so today here on Robin Hoop, we are being joined by Josh Halickman. He is known as the Sports Rabbi, and he is from the website sportsrabbi.com. How are you doing today, Josh?
Doing well. How are you doing out there?
Doing good, doing good. You are coming back from the most recent Maccabi Tel Aviv game. What can you tell us about Denny Avdija and his performance in the game today?
So Denny Avdija had probably his best game for Maccabi against Hapoel Jerusalem. Hapoel Jerusalem's one of their arch rivals. They call it the Israeli Classico. He had not had very much luck against them this past season. Kind of closed up really well in the other 3 or 4 games that they played. This game, he finally broke out. He had 3 three-pointers. Hit some free throws, was dominant, just seemed to get his mechanics down. His stroke was good, his confidence was up. But it wasn't just the shooting. It was also his defensive play and his IQ, knowing where to be, knowing where to knock the ball, deflections. As Rick Pitino always talked about, deflections. Well, Denny Avdija had plenty of those today. Clean rebounds, steals. Putting together an all-around good game, definitely his best game, and helped Maccabi take the victory 86-80 over Hapoel Jerusalem, which is a good sign for the yellow and blue going forward in their playoff push here.
One thing I've noticed in the 3 games since they've come back is you're definitely seeing, for me anyways, an improvement on Denny's shot. I know one thing that had been an issue previously had been, for example, his free throw shooting, And it definitely seems like he's got a little bit more confidence from the free throw line. And one thing we noticed during the break was, for example, Denny on Twitter was constantly posting his work on the jump shot. And clearly he spent a lot of time in the gym, because you're definitely seeing the improvements as far as I can tell.
Yeah, no, he definitely spent a lot of time. I think he did a couple of things during the break. One was he definitely worked on his mechanics on a shot. Two, he bulked up. And he talked about that after his first game, that it was something that had been people had been very critical of, that he didn't have the body, didn't have the same fitness that maybe, you know, NBA teams were looking for. He really worked on that over the past 3 months, and you could see it, that he was, I wouldn't say a totally different body build, but you could see he bulked up, he put on some good weight, very low fat percentage, and he just was much more mature. His shot mechanics he worked on, he talked about that, and it's clear from both the line and from the three-point shooting, his stroke is much better. He has much more confidence in it. Is he going to miss a free throw here and there? Yes. Is it much better? Yes. I definitely think that because he took the time off so seriously, he definitely, you know, raised his stock in that matter going into the end of the season here. And knowing that he's really the only prospect that's playing right now, you know, puts him in a good position if he's going to be drafted, even, you know, in the top 3 to 5 spots. Maybe a team's going to say, well, this guy's been playing over the last few months. A guy like James Wiseman hasn't played. Killian Hayes, he hasn't played. He decided not to go back and play for Ulm in Germany when they came back. The same is true about Edwards and Cole Anthony and anybody else that's out there. Denny Avdija has a step on the competition right now because he is playing valuable minutes.
Yeah, listening to one of your most recent shows, you had touched on that, how he's the only guy that is still playing. And I think one thing that's really cool about his choice to continue to play is, as an NBA team, you really are able to see, wow, he really wants that championship. He's willing to, you know, put at risk maybe getting injured or something like that that could hurt his draft stock in order to help his team out. And I think if you're an NBA team, that's something that really can't be overlooked, that he's willing to put in that time and he's willing to risk it because he wants to help his teammates and he wants to get the win. So I think that's really important to point out. And you're right. I think he does have a leg up on the competition, because if you're a scout in the NBA, you have these other players and you're watching tape from months ago, whereas you're getting up-to-date film on Denny. And on top of that, if you're a scout, you've probably watched a lot of these prospects over and over again, the same film. And so I think Denny, what's great about him is he has a chance to improve that draft stock because he's the only player that's going to be putting out fresh content. And if you're a scout and you've been looking at that same content over and over again, I think it's probably huge to be able to have something new that you can then judge a player off of.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's no question. As he said, and I said also, he has a leg up on the competition right now. So remember, these guys that were in the NCAA, they haven't played since, you know, some of the prospects, January, February, March, or even if it was March, it was the first few days of March, wasn't more than that. They have not, you know, maybe they had some workouts and formal games here or there, but you're not seeing them in actual competition. Here, Denny is in actual competition. Yes, he is taking a risk by playing, there's no question. Most people would say, yeah, you know, why is he doing it? You know, he's going to go in the top 10 anyways, and, you know, his situation's good. Why risk it? And I think it just shows about the intangibles about a player that any team is going to draft. They're going to get a guy that is going to put it all out there for that team. He has all the intangibles that any general manager, any basketball franchise would want. He's mature. He was brought up well by his parents. He's intelligent. He's a good kid. He is very mature for his age. He is clean as a whistle. You're getting a guy that, you know what you're going to get. There's going to be no question marks. You know that he's going to go in to the NBA team with a perfect report card. You know, you get that report card from the teacher. You know, you never know what the student's going to have on there about his behavior. There's going to be all 100 check marks over there. Denny Avdija is like the absolute prototypical good guy that you're going to want to have, and he wants to win. That's why he came back. At the end of the day, he wants to win. He wants to win a title. He wants to win a championship. And, you know, who knows what would have been if the EuroLeague would have continued. Maccabi Tel Aviv had been playing very well. But even if the EuroLeague continued, who knows if Denny would have had the opportunity to lead the team or not. But I think now he really is in that position where he's leading the team, and he can take them to victory. And I think another very important thing to point out is that there's two huge veteran players there in Amari Stoudemire, who's a six-time All-Star, who also tonight was the MVP of the game, along with Scotty Wilbekin, who played, of course, in Florida. Maccabi just signed him to a three-year, multi-year deal. 21 points, 10 assists. You know, you can't complain about these guys that he's playing with. He's learning from some of the best players. If it's a top-level point guard or a top-level center slash power forward at this point in Amari Stoudemire, that experience is invaluable. The key also is that since they've come back, Denny and Amari have been almost exclusively together on the court at the same time. It's very rare that one of them won't have the other with him. Something that I've noticed throughout this the last few games or so, and I'm sure that's something that's going to continue. And that experience in itself, no college player that's going to be in the draft has that experience.
Yep, I think that makes a huge difference. You talk about Amari, who had obviously a storied NBA career. I mean, he's been there. He's been in the playoffs. He's been in big situations. And anything he can bring to the table to help Denny, I think, is going to be huge. And you're right. The college experience is so much different than an actual pro experience. And I think that should be a positive in his favor for sure. The one thing I'll ask you, what would you think, what is his ideal position, do you think, in the NBA? Is he going to play like a specifically like the three or the four? Is he going to be kind of a hybrid? What are your thoughts on his position?
I think he's a hybrid in a lot of different aspects. He can play the one, he can play the two, he can play the three, he can play the four. He's, you know, a prototypical wing. He played the point forward tonight on a number of possessions, and he's been doing that throughout the season, especially in the second half. Since January, he's had a lot of situations where he's bringing up the ball, he's controlling the offense from the top. But you also have the time when, you know, he's parked in a corner where he hit a three-pointer. But you're also going to see him take a quick three-pointer as well from the elbow. You're also going to see the times where he's going to slash in the basket. And there was one play tonight where he just took off. I mean, he got the ball and he, you know, beat a high-level Apollo Jerusalem player who has the NBA experience, just beat him and just used his power to slam the ball home, which he has very, very good power in doing that. He knows how to get his spots. He knows how to take his spots. And again, you can see him in any of those positions because he can play the stretch four, he can play the three, he can do the two, he can play the one as point forward. And this past summer, when he was playing for the under-20 team for Israel, he was even playing the five occasionally. So, and that was against his own age group. And, you know, against that age group, he just totally dominated. So the fact that he's been able to play against former NBA players, adults, which is another big thing. People have to understand, college players are playing against college players. Denny Avdija, Luka Doncic, those guys played against, are playing against adults. They're playing against grown men, playing against 30-year-old NBA veterans, and they're playing against players that have years and years of experience that can never be matched in the college setting.
Yeah, I agree. I think it makes a huge difference. The one thing I want to touch on, too, is, you know, we talk about how he's able to play multiple positions, and a big reason for that is obviously his skill set is incredibly vast. And I'll say the two things I've really been impressed with for Denny is I definitely have seen improvement on the defensive end, but also just his play in transition, both offense and defense, is pretty impressive in terms of his speed to get up the court. And earlier you touched on how he's really worked on his body and kind of being able to fill that out a little bit. What I like is that that hasn't actually hurt him in terms of his speed. He's still going to be one of the first guys up and down the court, again, both offensively and defensively. And I think if you're an NBA scout or an NBA team, you've got to see that and realize what an absolute great addition that would be to your team, especially with the NBA and how fast they want to play and how much the pace really dictates in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he has that explosive first step. He has an explosive acceleration to the basket. He has all that. And tonight, just another example, you know, he's so smart on the press. He was able to deflect the ball. He was able to get the steal, take the ball up court, and, you know, make a play out of it. He's able to do things that that a lot of players can't do because he has a certain amount of vision. That also is, I think, is an exclusive factor for him going into this draft. He sees the floor. He can pull down a rebound. He can already point out two or three outlet passes if he wanted to, or he could take the ball off the court itself also. And, you know, you're going to see at least once a game where he's going to just, you know, whip the ball down court, and he's going to find his target without a problem each and every time. He just has very, very good vision. His IQ is very good. He knows where the players are going to be, and he just sees the game just, you know, just tremendously. And again, that's something that you might not see in a college player, where you're not being coached by the same level of coach that you're seeing for a EuroLeague style team and a professional style team. Not to put anything down away from the John Calipari's of the world, and of course Rick Pitino coming back to Iona, or any of those coaches. They're fabulous coaches, and they know how to develop players, but there are just certain, you know, intangibles that Denny has that can also be flushed out by a professional coach in a professional setting that you won't see in the college.
Yep, I think that's a very valid point. The differences in leagues, what you're seeing with college players versus pros, is definitely there, and it makes a big difference. I do think that you're able to come into the league a little bit more prepared, not only just in terms of the style of play, but also the type of players you're playing against. When you're looking at college, there's guys all different skill types, but not just anyone can play in the professional level. And so I agree. I do think that makes a pretty big difference. The one thing I've always thought about with Denny, before they came back to start playing, I always felt like the one thing that was holding him back just a little bit at times was his jump shot. With that improved jump shot, to me, it seems like going into this draft and looking at the other players, he's arguably the most complete player in the draft. Wouldn't you agree that what sets him apart from other players is that there really isn't a glaring weakness in his game if the shooting comes around?
That's for sure. I don't think there's a weakness in his game. I think his shooting is going to be fine. I've said it from day one. Even the free throws, I'm not concerned about it. I know one of the games he went 7-for-8 from the free throw line, and one of the draft experts on Twitter kind of like, kind of brushed it away. I said, well, hold on. You guys have been criticizing him for going 3-for-10 from the line. Now he's going 7-for-8 on a consistent basis. Well, that's a big piece of his play. And I really have no doubt that his free throw shooting is going to be fine. His jump shot is fine. His release is so quick. Tonight we saw that on a couple of his three-pointers where it was catch and shoot, catch and shoot, catch and shoot. There was no issues with guys in his face, defenders in his face. And he's going to do what he has to do to make sure he has a complete game. This is a guy that came back with a purpose. And I'll tell you this, he wants to go number one overall. And there's no question in my mind. He looks at this as a challenge coming back. He says, I have a shot that I can go number one overall. Of course, it depends on which team's going to get the draft pick, which team needs a player like him. There's, you know, other concerns, obviously, that are out there. But he is going to put everything on the line to go as high as he can. And that's what I love about Denny. He's just, that's him. That is him. That's the same Denny I know from 2016, from 2017, 2018, 19, and 20, from the days that I went to his first game with the senior team. It was an exhibition game in Eilat back in, I believe, 2017, September. And you can see, I think, a picture of one of my most recent articles. You can see how small he is. He's just a kid. And, you know, we knew what he was going to be. We knew that he was a prodigy. We knew he had the chance to make it. And we went down to Eilat, which is a good four-hour drive, and we got to see his, you know, pro debut. He was with the team in EuroLeague games on the road that year also. I traveled with the team a couple of times, and we were in Belgrade. And, you know, he was just sitting on the bench before the game, and we were just hanging out with him. He was a 17-year-old, which is, you know, that's him. He's just a good kid. He knew what his goals were. He was set up to succeed. Maccabi Tel Aviv made sure they put him in the position to succeed, but I also think that a big amount of credit goes to the coaches that have been there. Devin Spachia, who is now an assistant coach for the Memphis Grizzlies, and Yanis Sviropoulos, who has many, many years of experience coaching in Europe. The Rockets about 7-8 years ago, were about half a season, but he's a professional coach that won championships in Greece. He's taken teams to the finals of the EuroLeague, and just knows how to work with younger players, knows how to get the best out of them while not hurting his team professionally. Knowing that Maccabi Tel Aviv had to win games, their job wasn't to just promote Denny. That wasn't just their job. They had to win games, and he had to walk a very, very fine line, a tightrope, all season long to make sure he was able to get Denny in the position where he could learn and also put the team in a position to win. He was able to do that. Very few coaches can do that. If you look at Killian Hayes, for example, he was playing massive minutes for Ulm in European play. They played in the Euro Cup, and the team went, I believe, 1-9. His stats were good. He was getting all the opportunities, and Coach Lakovic, that was his job, was to get him to play as best basketball as he could, but the team suffered. He did not come back to play in the German tournament now. The team went all the way, I believe, to the semifinals. They played excellent basketball throughout without Killian Hayes on the team. So I think it also speaks volumes about the coaches, and especially Coach Spiropoulos, being able to take him under his wing and understand the challenges that he has with a professional franchise.
Let me end it out with this. I got one more question for you. So people recently have started to talk about his height. Can you touch on, is he truly 6'9", or is he a little shorter than that? And then lastly, do you think ultimately Maccabi Tel Aviv does win the championship?
He's 6'9", there's no question. He's a big boy. He's tall. I'm 6'2", and I got to still look up to Danny. He's definitely 6'9". I know that sometimes a lot of players like to push the height. He's definitely 6'9", that is no question. Maccabi Tel Aviv is primed to win the championship. Hapoel Jerusalem is their biggest threat. And tonight, Hapoel Jerusalem controlled the game for a good 2.5 quarters. And they controlled Maccabi Tel Aviv all season long, except two of their top players, Jacoby Brown and Tayshaun Thomas, both came back to Israel and then went back to the United States due to personal reasons, wanted to be with their families during, of course, the coronavirus and all the racism issues that are going on in the United States. So they lost two huge factors, which was a big deal, obviously. They replaced them with Jeremy Pargo, which is definitely a solid NBA player, European player, a guy that knows the Israeli league. And tonight in his first game scored, I believe, 15 points. Maccabi Tel Aviv unfortunately had an injury tonight to Quincy Acey, which could be pretty serious. Right now he has to go for an MRI tomorrow morning, which would be Tuesday morning in Israel. They're going to see what his status is. Quincy Acey is a big piece of the team, but I'd still say Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to win the championship. I still think they have, higher quality, better players. But we're going to have to see how it plays out. Obviously, Quincy Acey, if he's definitely hurt and injured more seriously, just as seriously as we think he is, that's going to be a big blow to Maccabi Tel Aviv. Is he replaceable? Yes. But again, a big blow to the team.
Well, thanks again, Josh, for joining us. He can be found on Twitter at The Sports Rabbi, and his website is sportsrabbi.com. Hopefully we can get you on again closer to the draft time.
Sure, would love to. Had a great time with you guys.
Again, special thanks to Josh Halickman, the Sports Rabbi, for joining us to talk Israeli League, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and Denny Avdia. Very cool to be able to discuss one of my favorite prospects. Now we're moving on, and we're going to take a look at a couple other prospects from this draft class that I'm really big fans of. I want to start off with LaMelo Ball and kind of take a look at him as a prospect. Now, LaMelo, 17 points per game, 7.6 rebounds per game, 6.8 assists per game, and a 42.5 effective field goal percentage. Now, things to keep in mind about LaMelo Ball: 19 years old, a 6'10" wingspan at 6'7", 190 pounds. If you look at him physically, he definitely needs to put on some muscle, get stronger. That's definitely something that's going to come in time, especially once you get into that NBA weight room, you have that strength and conditioning program, you have those trainers. I do think, very similar to his brother, who was able to fill out and is a pretty strong player now, I do think you're going to see him able to fit more physically mature as the years go by. Let's take a look at some of the pros to his game. Now, elite passing and vision. For anyone that has watched him, whether it was in high school, whether it was in Lithuania, or when it was or his time with Illawarra playing in the NBL, there's lots of games and lots of footage that you can really appreciate what he brings to the table as a facilitator, putting up solid numbers all around and lots to like. I think similarly to Lonzo, ultimately LaMelo Ball is going to be a player that I think on any given night could find a way to get a triple-double. With his size, he's able to obviously rebound the basketball well, good wingspan. He's got good height, especially for the position. Point guard, 6'7". You just don't see that very often. I look back to a guy like Marko Jaric. Hopefully LaMelo Ball has a better career than he did. Taking a look at some of the other pros, very, very good ball handler. Definitely something we talk about passing. We talk about his ball handling. And a player that definitely comes to mind when I think about those specific things is Ricky Rubio. I do think ultimately, though, when it comes to LaMelo Ball, you're going to see him be a much more efficient scorer than Ricky Rubio was. And we'll get into that a little more as we continue this conversation. But coming into the league, you know, one of the question marks was jump shooting and scoring for Ricky Rubio. And I think you're seeing that same thing with LaMelo Ball. That's one thing to watch for. Another thing I will say about LaMelo Ball is that he is that it factor, willing to take the big shots. Now, of course, that can be a positive and a negative because if you look at his form and if you look at his streaky shooting, it's not like you always want him to be the guy to take the shot. But there's something to be said about someone that's willing to take that big shot. And I think one thing that adds to that is that he was on a very, very bad team in the Illawarra Hawks in the NBL. And because of that, I do think that hurt his efficiency quite a bit. Bad shot selection, trying to do a little too much. And actually, that's going to be a common trend that we see with a number of prospects in this draft. I think they're players that just try to do too much on a bad team. I think everyone's played a basketball game on either side of the coin. Maybe you're playing with a guy that tries to do too much. Maybe you're on a team where you feel like you need to be that person. As someone that's coached basketball for a number of years, I have had players that have been exactly that. That sometimes as a coach, you say to yourself, right, I need this guy to be able to put up those big numbers. I need him to step up. But if you don't have anyone else that can really help out, that hurts efficiency. And I think that's one thing we've really seen with LaMelo Ball and one thing that hurt his efficiency. Now, if you watch him shoot, there's definitely some issues as far as form is concerned, but it's pretty repeatable. And that's one of those things that's intriguing to me is I think at the next level, if you can get him to take better shots, that's going to make a world of a difference when it comes to his efficiency. And if he sticks to the things that he's good at, becomes focused more on passing, setting other players up, maybe less of a focus on trying to get his own points, that I think that's going to help out a lot. Plus, if he's able to be a little more controlled on the offensive end, I'm hoping that leaves him a little more energy to be effective on the defensive end because there are question marks there. Now, we talked about the it factor. In addition to that, he's obviously a player that is going to be able to handle the spotlight. Coming from the family that he comes from, obviously they've had their names since high school in the centerfold of pretty much everything. And so I do think that that's something to watch for. He's a guy that is going to be able to handle everything you bring at him. And so time will tell what team he ends up going to. But I do think if you're one of those teams in the lottery, I think that's definitely something positive you can look at. Now, there is going to be a little bit of a circus when it comes to LeVar, when it comes to Lonzo, just the whole, everyone in LaMelo Ball's family. There's definitely some baggage there, and that is one thing you got to watch out for, of course. Now, he has shown the ability to hit shots. Consistency is going to be key. I do wonder if a team that picks him up, are they going to stick with what he's currently working with as far as shot form, or are they going to make changes? He's actually a decent free throw shooter. That's one thing to keep in mind. Free throw shooting, many people realize that that can be something that really kind of tells you what's going to happen at that next level. Now, while he was in the NBL, 73% from the free throw line, not ideal, but he's not a terrible free throw shooter. And again, he's pretty consistent with the way he shoots, and so that can definitely make a difference. With his height, he's proven to be a decent rebounder, and this goes back to why I do think on a nightly basis, he's going to be a player that has the ability to get triple-doubles. I do think he's going to be able to get lots of statistics. If he's going to be aggressive on the glass, if he's going to be just aggressive in terms of all three facets of his specific game, in terms of passing, taking smart shots, as well as getting to the hoop, rebounding. There's lots of things that you want from him that I think an NBA team is going to get him more honed in on. And with that in mind, I do think you're going to see some of those statistics be even better once he hits the NBA. Plus, you're talking about assists. You know, 6.8 assists averaged. If you take a look at the NBA, he's going to have, on most of these teams that he potentially goes to, obviously better teammates than he had with the Illawarra Hawks. Because of that, I do think you're definitely going to see an increase in the number of assists that he brings to the table. In addition, skilled with both hands, has shown the strong ability to finish at the rim, not necessarily consistently. Again, consistency is always the difference here with LaMelo Ball. I do think he has to be more consistent, but he has shown the ability to finish strong. Definitely can take some contact. And think about when he actually kind of builds out his body and is able to get stronger, I do think that could turn into more of a pro. Now, when we look at some of the inconsistencies, we think about the cons to drafting LaMelo Ball and what he maybe doesn't have. Inconsistent effort on the defensive end, that is absolutely there. You see flashes every now and then where you say, all right, this guy could do it. And I do think, you know, when we talk about bad defenders, I think there's different types of bad defenders. There's guys that just don't get it. There's guys that physically just aren't able to do certain things. A good example of that is the guy we talked about earlier in Obi Toppin. I actually think that with good effort and with good coaching, and because of his skill set and size, I do think that LaMelo Ball is going to end up being an okay defender. I don't think he's ever going to be like an elite defender like his brother, but could he go from being a negative to maybe either average or maybe slightly above average? I do think so. And we'll see eventually what he brings to the NBA team that he goes to. Is he going to put up that effort? Ultimately, I do think that he ends up being a decent defender overall. Physicals, we talked about how he needs to get stronger. I do think that's a con right now. If you look at him physically, he definitely needs to bulk up. And that's something that's going to come with time and being, again, with an NBA trainer and being in that NBA locker room. They're going to work on that, and I'm not that worried about it. Now, if you look at areas of development for him, we talked about scoring efficiency. I think it's going to be pretty important not only to maybe alter his form, but again, that's going to be up to the NBA team because we look at some of the guys in the past. How about Kevin Martin as an example? Just really interesting form, but consistent. Always able to have a repeatable motion, and that's something if LaMelo Ball can continue that kind of odd shot selection, or sorry, that odd shot form, if he can consistently get that same form off, I do think he's going to be able to increase that efficiency, especially if he starts taking better shots. He has a tendency, whether it was in high school, everyone's seen the play where he throws up a shot from half court, you know, points down at the court, kind of does the Babe Ruth, and then takes that half court shot. Everybody's seen that happen. And if you watched his games when he was playing over in the NBL, sometimes he forces up bad, long, long distance shots. Take that out of your game, LaMelo. Not that he can't make it. It's just not a good looking shot. It's not a highly efficient shot. It's not a shot you want guys taking, especially in the NBA. And he's not going to get away with that. And so that's one of those things. Whatever team drafts him, I think if you can get him to be smarter with his shot selection, I think that's going to make a huge difference. And that's why I do think that scoring efficiency is not going to be as huge of a problem. Of course, physicals, being able to bulk up and kind of take his physical body to that next level, very similar to his brother. And then lastly, defensively, is he going to develop defensively? I do think that there's a chance that happens. And I do think that ultimately it comes down more so to effort. Because if you look at his skill set, he's not a slow player. And so I do think if you can make some tweaks to his overall defensive game and then just get him in that right mindset, I'm not that worried that he's going to be able to come around on that end. Players that come to mind, as I mentioned earlier, Ricky Rubio, a guy that had some struggles in terms of shooting, finishing at the rim, but of course an absolutely elite passer and a good ball handler. These are things that LaMelo Ball brings to the table and ultimately going to be a very solid player. If I look at some of the teams in the lottery that make some sense, there's going to be teams like the Timberwolves. I could definitely see them being interested. Obviously, they already have D'Angelo Russell. That's not going to stop them from going after a guy like LaMelo Ball if they think he's the best available player, especially the best available player that is high up on their board. Another team that you might see in the lottery that I think is going to stay away from him, and that's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. Given the last two drafts, they've drafted a point guard. To me, it seems a little difficult to comprehend that they would actually go that route. I've also seen a report that a player that they are not going to interview is Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes, another player that everyone that I talk to is very, very high on. If the Cleveland Cavaliers are not going to interview him, are they going to interview LaMelo Ball? Of course, the big difference is going to be physically. Do they want to look at a guy that's 6'7"? Maybe they feel like at that size, if they can bulk him up a little bit, maybe he's able to play with the guys they currently have. Maybe he can play effectively with Sexton or with Garland. We'll see. Another team that I probably would love to get a chance at LaMelo Ball would be a team like maybe the Knicks that just want an infusion of star power and feel like we're a place that can definitely handle the stuff that you're getting when you draft LaMelo Ball. His dad, we're a major market, so his dad's going to be happy. We all know that LeVar wants his sons to be in major markets. I think that's going to play a role in certain things. Now, how about a team like the Golden State Warriors? Would they look at a guy like him? I think that's a name that another option for them if they want to go that route. Could LaMelo play with guys like Klay and Steph Curry? I do think so. I do think they could, although I don't know necessarily if that's a direction they'd want to go. But as you see, you can look at all the different lottery teams, and I think LaMelo Ball is a player that could fit on almost any team and be able to carve out a role and be successful. Moving on to our next prospect we want to take a look at is Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, 19.1 points per game, 5.2 rebounds per game, 2.8 assists per game, and 47.3 effective field goal percentage. Now, he is 19 years old, wingspan 6'9", height of 6'5", 225. This guy is built. We talk about what LaMelo Ball lacks physically. Anthony Edwards has it all, and he's going to come into the NBA with an NBA body very, very strong. Let's take a look at some of his pros. As far as I'm concerned, he is strong, very good athlete. A player that actually comes to mind when I sit here and think of him, I've seen some people talk about Ben Simmons, and one thing they've mentioned is how at LSU, Ben Simmons really just didn't give that effort on the defensive end, and for anyone that watched much of Georgia basketball this year, Anthony Edwards was a terrible defender. For my money, given what I've seen from him athletically, I actually do think, much like we touched on with LaMelo Ball, I think at the next level, Anthony Edwards becomes a really good defender. And so I have less concerns there. A few other things we'll touch on as far as the pros to drafting Anthony Edwards. Very good shooting off the dribble. He's a very good cutter. And if you want to watch an absolutely impressive basketball game, take a look at his game. Even if you want to just look at the highlights of his game against Michigan State. Let's go over the numbers from that game specifically quickly. He ended up the game with 37 points, 33 of which came in the second half. He also added 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. I mean, that's very, very impressive, and this was definitely a career high in terms of points. Now, taking a look at how he shot the basketball, that was pretty impressive as well. He was 7 of 16 from 3-point range, 11 of 26 overall. And how about this statistic? So the Bulldogs trailing 61-33 with over 16 minutes to go in the second half, he goes and scores 26 points, and he cuts Michigan State's lead to 80-76 with just under 4 minutes to remain in the game. Again, if you have not seen this game, I promise you, you want to go back and watch it. It's a lot of fun, and you watch games like this, and you see how dominant he is, and that's what brings you to mind. You say, man, he could be really, really good. Again, the guy that comes to mind, we talked about Ben Simmons, but another player that really starts to jump to me in terms of a guy I want to compare him to, and that's Andrew Wiggins. You talk about Andrew Wiggins, he definitely had some effort issues, and I definitely see that with Anthony Edwards. Effort is a real concern on defense because right now, legitimately a bad defender, but a good NBA body, very athletic. You start to see some of the reasons why I think you can compare those two players. There's definitely some similarities. Adding to this, some other things you want to kind of take into account when you're drafting him. In terms of the cons, shot selection, inefficient scoring. Now, granted, this is very similar to what we talked about with LaMelo, a bad team. I mean, Georgia was a bad team. I think some of that was him trying to do too much. Ultimately, at the NBA level, you're going to want him to attack more and not settle for jumpers. If you can get him to take the ball into the hoop, go and get to the rim, I think it's going to make him much more efficient, and he's going to be able to help you out a lot. Who does this remind you of? Yet again, Andrew Wiggins. The one thing I'll say, too, one of the issues I've seen with him is the feel for the game. Unlike LaMelo Ball, who we just touched on, who has an absolutely great feel for the game. In fact, When they asked him, how did you become this good at passing? How did you become this good? Where did this vision come from? And he talked about how it just kind of came to him. It's just kind of a natural thing that he's always had. You do not see that with Anthony Edwards. Now, this adds us to development areas. And as far as development is concerned on defense, it's weird. You would see random flashes when it came to Anthony Edwards on the defensive end. Can he get that to be consistent? I said earlier, I think he can, and I do really believe that. Physically, there's no reason why he can't be a good defender, and so ultimately, I do think he finds a way to be at least decent, average, maybe slightly above average, but that's going to be the key, I think, to his growth, is being able to play two-way basketball. In addition, another area of development is efficiency. 77% from the free throw line versus 29% from three, and then driving and finishing. Take the shots that you should be taking. Play to your strengths. At times, I don't think that Anthony Edwards has done that. And if he can get to that next level, it's up to an NBA team to say, hey, man, these are low-efficiency shots. These are shots that you're really effective at, and you need to find a way to get those shots. And we're going to put you in positions to be successful. We're going to get you shots at the rim. We're not going to let you settle for long threes. We're not going to let you settle for bad jump shots. That's going to be a huge part of what gets him to be that high-level player that many people think that he could be. And with that, I think this is a good place to stop for week number one. Lots more to come in the future for Robin Hoop covering the NBA draft. Thanks for tuning in to Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. If you missed any part of this show, you can definitely find us everywhere great podcasts are found. So not only are we a radio show, but we give it to you on replay in podcast form. Look at places like Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and anywhere else you would find us in podcast form. Thanks again to the Sports Rabbi for joining us this week to talk Denny Avdia. It was very cool to be able to touch base with him and see exactly what we're dealing with. For anyone that misses his games, I strongly suggest that you subscribe to the Winter League. You can actually find that. Just search Winter's League on Google, and it's pretty inexpensive. It's right around $6 for, I want to say, 40 days, and they actually have all the previous games. And then, of course, the games that are coming up, there's a number of more games that Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to play. And right now, we don't have any basketball. So why not watch new basketball and take a look at one of the best prospects in this draft, Denny Avdia. You've been listening to Robin Hoop. Catch us each week on Dash Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And until next time, this has been Rob Hess and Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel.
With the first pick in the 2003 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft.
With the first pick in the 1998 NBA Draft.
With the first pick in the Orlando Magic.
Michael Olcandy.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.